Well, it's wonderful to be with you this morning. And I've got a slightly croaky voice, but I'm sure that I'll be able to share with you. And I want to first of all show you a photo that is of my grandfather and his family. It's kind of crazy because there were 17 brothers and sisters, one mum, one dad. And so, in this photo, they look very serious. And my grandfather is the one on the far right, Charles Squire. And then in the second photo, you can see that my grandfather and about two or three of his brothers went to the First World War. That's a long time ago, isn't it? They went to the First World War, and he died before I was born, and so I never met him. But my uncle has all of the letters from the trenches written to his sisters and to his family. And last year had this amazing opportunity to meet up with my uncle, and he lives in Colchester with his wife, and my uncle told me things that I didn't know. First of all, he has all the letters from the trenches, and so I'm keen to get my hands on those one day. You know, really interesting historical kind of documents. But he told me something really, really interesting that I want to share with you today. That when my granddad was in the trenches, he had a divine kind of revelation about God. I think a lot of the poets, like a lot of the war poets, and a lot of the people who survived the First World War actually lost faith. But interestingly, my grandfather, Charles Squire, found faith in the midst of war. And when he came back from the war, he was shot twice, but he survived. One of the times he got shot in the knee. Know about the other time. And when he came back from the war, he decided he'd studied history just before the war, but he decided to go back and study theology and become an Anglican minister. And and the rest is history. I mean, there's lots and lots of other stories. But what I want to ask you this morning, I'm going to wake you up a little bit. I'm going to ask you, what would it be like to have 16 brothers and sisters? And I don't know if you can think about that for a moment, but I want to share with you, before we go on to the actual Bible passage, I want to share with you from Genesis a little bit about the story of Joseph. And so I'm just going to remind you about the first bit, which is in Genesis 37. And I want to tell you a little bit about Joseph and how he made himself quite unpopular with his brothers. He had 11 brothers and probably quite a few sisters, but we don't really know how many sisters. And we know that, first of all, he was a tattletale, sometimes known as a snitch, right? I don't know if you know any other words for that. And then there was something else that made him very unpopular, which was that he was his father's favorite. And as you know, parents never have favorites. But in this case, Jacob gave his son a very amazing coat. And we've always been told it was multicolored, but I think it was probably just like, yeah, very, very cool. Like, very cool coat. And all of the brothers knew that he was his father's favorite. And I think that we can all agree that that is very annoying when you know that your brother is your father's favorite. And there was another thing that was super annoying about Joseph when he was young, 17. He would dream dreams. That part's fine. Later, that becomes very helpful, doesn't it? And he would dream these dreams, but the problem was he's a little bit tactless. And so in the morning, he would say, "I dreamt that you were all bowing down to me." And that also made him extremely unpopular with his brothers. And you know that the Bible is a very, very honest book. And actually, if you haven't read this story of Joseph recently, I encourage you to go back and just like read it as a story from Genesis 37 onwards, because it actually says that they hated him. Okay, I know that in your families there's none of these kind of terrible feelings. You know, like there are no snitches, there's no favorites, there's no dreamers, there's no tactless ones. But in this family, they actually hated him. I'm going to talk to you this morning about when you fall out with someone. And families are so close, and we have to live all together, and sometimes we're very similar, which can cause conflict, and sometimes we're very different, and that also causes conflict. But in the end, there is conflict. In Peru, extended families often live together, and also extended families spend a lot of time together. And so, there are some tough issues that go on. Now, I am very, very tactfully and very subtly going to tell you about a conflict that I had last year, but I'm going to do it in a very careful, coded way. Now, well, last August, we had been in England and we were over for Elliot's graduation, and Elliot is here this morning. You can chat to him at the end and find out everything he's up to. And when we got back to Peru, Dennis's mum had become very ill, and she had to be taken into hospital. On one of the first weekends that we were back in Peru, all of the rest of Dennis's family, two brothers, their wives, and their kids, almost everybody, had gone to a town in the mountains of Peru. Very beautiful place, Huaraz. And so, beautiful landscape, amazing trekking. For those of you who like trekking, Huaraz is an amazing place to go with like stunning views and snow-capped mountains. And so they were there for something very, very important and significant in all of Dennis's family, which was the inauguration of an amazing community center with Scripture Union. And Scripture Union was the organization that Dennis's dad worked for many years, maybe 40 years. And they were inaugurating one of the rooms, and it was gonna be dedicated to Dennis's dad, and it was gonna have his name. And so they were all there. We were in Lima because we just got back from England. While they were in Huaraz, Dennis's mom became extremely ill, and she was still in emergency. And all of you know what that looks like when you have to go to A&E and wait there to be seen. And so Dennis was at the hospital and I was at home. And so Dennis sent me a message saying, my mom is very ill. She's gonna have to be intubated. And actually, later that day, they had to use the defibrillators it was something to do with restarting her heart. It was very serious. So, what did I do? And I know that you're not going to judge me, and you're also not going to judge Dennis's family, when I tell you that I started ringing them like a crazy person in Huaraz. And I started off by ringing Dennis's brothers, and no one was answering, and there was no signal. And then I was like, oh, I'm gonna start ringing the nephews and nieces, and there was no answer, and there was almost no signal because it was way up in the mountains. Well, then I managed to get in touch with some of the other people that were there, and I finally got someone to answer. And I said, tell Dennis's brothers that their mum is really ill. Now, there's one factor that culturally is quite different in Peru, and you know, it's a little bit sensitive, but I'll just tell you briefly, that if someone does pass away, the funeral is usually within 24 hours. And so that's a very quick process. It's actually, sorry, it's a bit of a dark humor, but it's the only thing that happens quickly in Peru. And so I had this on my mind. I was worried. Huaraz is a long trip by road, winding up through the mountains, about 7 or 8 hours. And so it's a long way. And so I got through and I said, Dennis's mom is very ill. Please tell Dennis's brothers to ring us. Well, that day, Dennis's mom was moved to a ward and she was intubated and she was asleep. And so she was sedated. And so by the next day, things had calmed down a bit. Well, have you ever heard that expression? It's very, very helpful. When people say, you judge yourself by your intentions, but you judge others by their actions, true or false. I mean, I'm sure that Joseph didn't really mean to any harm when he told his brothers his dreams, right? You're all gonna bow down to me, but they did not take it well. Well, when the family got back, they said, everybody at the camp, everybody at the Scripture Union camp thought that we were terrible people, terrible sons, terrible grandchildren, because we were in Huaraz while our mum was very ill in hospital. And you are the one that made us look bad in front of everyone. Oh my goodness, my heart just... you know, just leapt. You know, when you realize that something that you know, I'm making it sound like I was completely in the right. And that's what we do. We justify ourselves and we judge ourselves because we say, oh, my intentions are so good. It's you who's misunderstood, you know. And so I think in church we've got to be so real, haven't we? We can't just pretend that everything's always fine. Oh, because we're in Peru, like we all get along well and we all get along well all the time and nobody ever has fallouts. This fallout was quite serious because one or two members of the family wouldn't speak to me. You know that tensions really rise when someone's ill. Tensions really rise when someone passes away. Tensions rise when money's involved. Come on. Let's be real. And so, now we will go to Joseph. Let's look at what happened, and then I will tell you about how the Lord brought reconciliation in our family, to keep it nice and real. So in Genesis 45... I think you probably know the story. Let's go to verse 1. And it says, Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants. And he cried out, make everyone leave my presence. So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. So you remember, Joseph was sold by his brothers as a slave to Egypt. And then he rises and he becomes the second in command and in charge of all of Egypt. And then, of course, his dream does come true. It's just that it's years and years and years later. He could never have known that his dream was going to come true. And his brothers would no way have imagined that that dream could come true. They assumed he was dead, I think. And then he said, get everyone out. Let's continue. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him and Pharaoh's household heard about it. I won't do the wail, but I could. Just to wake you up, I could. But he starts crying so loudly that they can hear him outside. Joseph said to his brothers, you know the way in all these series, like these reality TV series and films and stuff, there's the big reveal, isn't there? This is the big reveal. I am Joseph. And then the first thing he asks is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified in his presence. Oh, it's got all the elements of a story, hasn't it? It's got all the elements of like the building tension, the big reveal, and then the kind of like quite satisfying when they have to realize it's their brother who they sold. You know? And then will he take revenge or will he forgive? And so he says, come close to me. I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. Now, do not be distressed. Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. And I think this is a very gracious reconciliation with his brothers, isn't it? And I just want to really encourage you today just to think through in your mind about any reconciliation that you need and to show this kind of grace. Yeah, let's read a little bit more. For 2 years now, there's been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no more plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. And if we could just jump down to verse 12. I love this bit. There's something very powerful in verse 12. It says, you can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. But in my translation, it says, look, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin can see that I'm the one speaking to you. And I don't know whether you interpret it this way, but I think that they had the same eyes. And so it was like him saying, look into my eyes and you'll see that I am your brother. Just in case you don't believe me. You know, in families, there's often a strong resemblance. And that's one of the things that sometimes causes conflict. And so he throws his arms around his brothers and he kisses all of them. And so I just want to challenge you this morning. Have you had a fallout with a best friend, with a neighbor, with somebody at work, with somebody in the family? It's time to forgive and to seek reconciliation. Sometimes the reconciliation isn't overnight. And that was one of the things that was hard for me with the conflict last year. There were quite a few months of prayer and constant repentance. I had to renounce vindictive thoughts. You know, when the thoughts come to you, and like, you know, sometimes you think, if I wasn't a Christian, you'd really find out, like, you know, who's gonna, like, there's a very ugly part of human nature that sort of goes, you're gonna find out, like, that I can be quite scary, you know? And as Christians, let's go to Matthew. Very well-known passage in Matthew. And I'll finish with this and we'll pray together. Matthew 5, 21 to 26. You've heard it said, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of fire of hell. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, it's not actually that you have got something against them, although that's also equally valid. But it's actually that they've got something against you. Leave your gift at the front. Go and be reconciled. Let's say it. Be reconciled. Be reconciled. Then come and offer your gift. And this part in verse 25, I just want to emphasize to you, settle matters quickly. If you can, if the other person won't allow that, in your own heart and in your own conscience, settle matters quickly between you and the Lord. Because when you carry resentment and you carry bitterness, you might even carry hate, because Joseph, it says that Joseph's brothers hated him. This was the reality. There might be hate, There might be very, very strong emotions involved. Sort it out quickly yourself so that you don't have months and months and months of suffering. And then it says, if you can, while you are walking on the way, so your adversary doesn't hand you over to the judge, and the judge might hand you over to the officer, you might be thrown in prison. I mean, this is like a legal, this is a legal battle, which some families do get into legal battles, don't they? Truly, I tell you, you'll never get out of there until you've paid the last penny. And so the message is so clear. Joseph had learned a lot from when he was 17. He'd been in prison. He'd been falsely accused several times. He'd been able to interpret the Pharaoh's dreams. And so when he saw his brothers again, he was ready to give them a big hug. And so let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we just want to come before you and confess our sins, that we have held things against others, and sometimes we've judged ourselves by our intentions and others by their actions. And so we pray in Jesus' name that we will release all judgment, all sin, all bitterness, all hate, and as far as it depends on us, that we will settle things quickly with you and with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, there are two more photos. And I just want to show you that it was quite interesting because sadly, it was when Dennis's mum passed away, which was in May, that full reconciliation came. I find it quite moving. And so this is the whole family gathered together, having a wonderful time. There are 15 of us. There are not 17 siblings. And with that photo, I just want to tell you, it's worth it to find peace. Amen.